Chapter 18. Adamantua. It was a chrome. Major Nyman knew this because he'd thoroughly reviewed the briefing packet that had been circulated among the officers of the reinforcement task force, and the packet had included helm-picked captures of the chromes in action. It came at him through the grass, claws raised and mouthparts snapping, making a most peculiar noise that he could only half hear in the claustrophobic isolation of his atmospheric armour. He shouted an order that he instantly realised no one except him could actually hear, brought his las pistol up, and shot two bolts at the charging Xenos. It slowed it down, but didn't kill it. Nyman had to snap off four more shots before it dropped a few metres short of where he was standing. He looked around, having to turn his whole body to maximise the view through his narrow visor port. He could hear his own rapid respiration, as if he was in a box. He could smell the rancid bitterness of his sweat and breath, laced with adrenaline. Muffled noises came to him, as though through water. The dull bangs of weapons. Shouts. Sunlight shone into his visor. Glare. There were chromes all around them. Most of them the glossy silver xenotype. He wasn't sure where they had come from, but the odds were they were burrowers and had come up through the soil, clawing their way out. His men, without orders to give them structure, had nevertheless obeyed essential combat drill and were forming a box, firing out at the things rushing them from all sides. The Asmodai were fine soldiers, trained by the very best in the gun schools of the old Pan-Pacific. Their proud boast to be the best in the Astra Militarum was not without merit. Las rifles flashed and snapped in disciplined volleys, the searing las bolts ripping open organic armour and mutilating limbs. Puffs and squirts of ichor drizzled into the bright air. One of the chromes, a very large, dark variant form, survived the rifle fire barrage and made it to their line. It got Corporal Vladen in its claws and tore him in half, the way a man would rip a sheet of paper when he was done reading the message written on it. Ribbons of bright red blood shivered into the air and covered the grass. Vladen's armoured suborbital dropsuit split like overheated plastic wrapping. Tranquility, the massive Imperial fist, waded in and drove the dark creature back, striking it twice with his power hammer. Leaking fluids through crush splits in its shell, the chrome reared back and launched itself at the Space Marine. There was no time or space for a defensive swing. Tranquility met the heavily built animal and grappled with it, gripping its chattering mouthparts with his left hand and tearing while he tried to stave off its claws. As they broke again, Tranquility came away with part of a mandible in his hand. Ichor spurted down the chrome's throat and chest. Tranquility knocked it down with a hammer blow and then swung his power hammer down in both hands and finished it with a devastating overhead strike. More chromes tore up out of the ground, flinging soil and uprooted grasses in all directions. Some of them were big and dark, like the thing that had murdered Vladen. The Asmodai redoubled their fire rate, snapping off shots to keep the creatures at maximum distance. Nyman kept shooting, directing fire by means of gestures. There was no way of knowing how many more of the things lay under the ground. Tranquility closed with another of the more massive forms, dispatched it with two clean blows of his hammer, and then found himself beset by two more of the dark beasts. They clawed at him, fending off his attempts to swing at them. With a curse, he drew his bolt gun and shot each one point blank, exploding their carcasses in showers of meat, gristle, and body fluid. He'd cut them a path. Nyman could see that, and he could plainly see the Space Marine's emphatic gestures. They had a path towards the hill slopes. In the distance, he could see the other Imperial Fist's war brothers bounding down the hill to join them. The hill slopes offered the protection of boulders and rocks for cover and a small hope of staying alive until the other Space Marines reached them. Nyman knew his men would have to double time and shoot as they ran. He sent the signal and most of them started to move, but visibility in the suits was so poor that some missed the gesture and found themselves caught out, alone. Nyman ran to them, grabbing them so he could look in through their visor plates and press his head against theirs, yelling so that the touching helms would transmit the sound.
Get moving! The hills! Move it, man!
They started running. Nyman and Trooper Furniss scurried the poor tech adept along. The damaged man had little clue what was going on. Trooper Galvett had been slow to recognize the intended effort, and once he did, ran the wrong way. Nyman, dismayed, believed that Galvett had suffered some concussion during the crash and was not thinking clearly. His fuzziness cost him his life. Two silver-shelled chromes ran him down and fell upon him, shredding him with their claws. Nyman didn't watch. He ran, dragging the tech adept by the arm with one hand, firing at the chromes that menaced them with his weapon in the other. As soon as the Asmodai were moving towards the hill slopes, Tranquility fell in behind them, his back to them, retreating and fending off the chromes that gave chase. He whirled his hammer and struck them down as they came at him, knocking them over onto their backs, splitting their shells, breaking their limbs and their spines. His power hammer was a long-hafted, weaponized version of a stonemason's mallet, the sort of tool that had been used to raise the bulwark walls and defenses of the Palace of Terror. Its design was symbolic. Its effect was not. Nyman, still moving with Trooper Furniss and their befuddled charge, was suddenly aware of yellow shapes racing past them from the direction of the slope. Daylight, Bastion Ledge and Zarathustra had joined the fight. Daylight had his gladius raised. Zarathustra was lifting his war spear. Bastion Ledge hefted a power mace. They reached the line where Tranquility was single-handedly stopping the chromes and crashed into the mass of them, rending and slicing, smashing and tearing. Nyman reached the lowest of the heaped boulders at the foot of the slope and pushed the tech adept into cover, with a gesture to Furniss to look after him. His men were taking up positions among the tufted rocks and outcrops, slithering up the scree and loose pebbles, and sighting their rifles as they found good firing places. They looked back at the fight. Several hundred chromes, most of them silver-shelled, had broken out of the soil of the plain and were assaulting the line. Dozens of them already lay dead, generally split or sliced open. Steam from hot fluids clouded the cool air of the grassy plain. Overhead, a looming volcanic darkness threatened to close down the light. The four Imperial Fists, War Brothers, Battlekin, Shield Corps, fought side by side. It was diligent work, dutiful work, holding ground so that the guardsmen could find cover and in turn support them with directed fire. It was a blocking action. It was a defensive stance. It was holding ground. It was everything that the Imperial Fists did best. Daylight knew that none of them, none of the four of them, would or could ever admit that joy was filling them at that moment. Despite the crisis, the predicament, the threat, and the possibility that their chapter was lost and dead, they secretly felt joy. Their greatest and darkest prayer to the God Emperor of mankind and to the Primarch progenitor who sired them had been answered. After years of silence, ritually patrolling the walls of the Imperial Palace, they had been granted the right to fight again, perhaps for one last time. War, for which they had been wrought, had finally admitted them back into its secret, dark, and savage mystery. They were whole again. They would make the most of it. Nyman and his men watched in awe as the four Wall Brothers fought back the tide. Imperial Fists, chosen as Wall Brothers, were the greatest of their kind and had excelled at feats of arms. It was for their very excellence that they were selected as the embodiment of the chapter's creed and set to stand guard on the walls where they had mounted their greatest defense and paid in blood. He could see why these men had been chosen. He could also see how many more chromes, hulking and dark-bodied, were splitting the soil of the plain and clawing their way into the sunlight.